Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast, and we're on our way today with a group of pilgrims from, we're traveling by bus, and incidentally, it is a bulletproof bus, a protected bus. We're traveling from Yerushalayim to Hebron. We're going to be emphasizing how this is the promise of God and how ridiculous that we have to have a protected bus, a bulletproof bus, to go to Hebron. And so we want to invite you to turn with us today in your Bible to Genesis chapter 13. Now remember, we were with Avram. We were with him when he came into this land. The Lord had spoken to him when he was in present-day Iraq, Ur of the Chaldees, and told him that he was going to make a covenant with him, make a nation out of him, and that he was going to give him a land. That is in Genesis chapter 12, and that's why we call it the Promised Land, because it was promised to Abraham. Now, if you were with us in an earlier radio broadcast that we did from there, you can hear about that, but that's in Genesis 12. Today, we're to the place of his third altar. He built three altars in the land, and he lived longest in the place of his third altar, Hebron, you might say, or Hebron. This is Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Avram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. This covenant never ended, because we haven't come to the end of forever. So God has given this land to them forever. By the way, the promise of God to the Jews for the land is reiterated more times in the Bible than any other promise. And God says in verse 16, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Here we have two promises, just in two verses here, of God's promise. You count the promises in your Bible. See if you think that covenant is ended. Then Avram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron or Hebron, and built an altar there unto the Lord. He lived longest here in the area of Hebron. Now we have the most wonder you've heard of Greater Israel. Here is God's promise that he gave to Avram for Greater Israel. This is chapter 15, one of the most outstanding covenants of the Bible with the Jews. Chapter 15, Genesis verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Avram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Avram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Avram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. When Avram came from Ur of the Chaldees, he stopped a while in what we call Syria. And there he hired this servant, this steward, Eliezer of Damascus, to be with him. And Avram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he, the Lord, brought him forth, and said, Look now toward the heaven, and tell the stars, if you be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. We have this given as a great example of faith in the New Testament. He said, All right, Lord, I believe you. He believed that he should have a child and that his seed should number like the stars. And then the Lord said unto him, verse 7, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. There's another promise of the land. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now Avram believed God concerning the child, that he would have a child, that they would number as the stars. But now the Lord says to him, I'm going to give you this land. Avram's down here where we're going today in Hebron. He doesn't own any land. He's traveling in with a tent, with tents. And he said, For this I've got to have a sign. How shall I know that I shall inherit it? And the Lord said unto him, Take me an heifer 3 years old, a she-goat 3 years old, and a ram 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these things. Now, if you and I were there, and we said, Lord, we have got to have a sign. I've got to have a sign that you're really going to fly. For instance, us with Migdal Arbel, where we're building our study center in the north. God, you got to give me a sign from heaven. I want to see something. And if God said, all right, Billy Brim, go out and get a three-year-old cow, get a three-year-old goat, get a three-year-old ram, and get a turtle dove and a pigeon, I might say, get thee behind me, Satan. But no, that's because I was born in Oklahoma and I'm a child of the West. Actually, I've been re-educated and I've got more Eastern eyes than ever. But Abraham was a man of the East and he understood covenant and he knew that the creator of the universe was going to cut a covenant with him. And so he got the animals. Verse 10, and he divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. This is called by the Jews the covenant between the pieces. He took the heifer, three-year-old, that's a big cow, you know, and he divided it right down the backbone and laid one half on one side, one half on the other side. He took the three-year-old she-goat, divided it down the backbone, laid one side on one side, one on the other. He took the ram, divided it down the backbone, one side on one side on another. This left animal pieces on each side with a pathway of blood in the middle. He took a turtle dove and a pigeon, which he did not divide. And he divided them. Verse 10, the birds divided he not. Verse 11, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Avram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Avram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And the Lord said unto him, Know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. He prophesies to Avram that the children of Israel are going to go into Egypt. And notice that he said, Egypt is not their land. That's a land not theirs. We know from Acts 17 that he, God, the Creator, divides the land which he created and the borders and the people's habitations according to his own will. So he didn't give the Jews everything. He didn't give them Egypt. He didn't give them Saudi Arabia, the whole of it. But what he gave them, he gave them. And so we have here in verse 12, and when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Avram, and lo, an horror of great darkness. And he told them about the 400 years in Egypt. And verse 14, also that nation whom they serve will I judge. God's going to judge Egypt for those times. And afterward shall they come out with great substance. Remember that before the Jews left Egypt, they went and gathered up the gold and the silver from the Egyptians. Then God's still speaking to Abraham, verse 15, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. They're in the promised land. They are at Hebron. God is cutting this covenant with him at Hebron. He says your children are going to go into they're going to go into Egypt, then they're going to come back into this promised land, but they will not come until the right time, for the sin of the Amorites is not yet full. The iniquity, their own iniquity has to judge them. This land here that we're in, the promised land to Abraham, called the land of Canaan, the people who were in it, their iniquity was not quite full enough for their judgment. And when it did become full enough, then God would bring the children of Israel back here. Now, verse 17, it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp, or a torch, passed between those pieces. Remember, we have the pieces lying on the ground. We have the pathway of blood between them. To have a covenant, you must have blood. And so here, the blood is the blood of the animals. It's called a blood covenant. And then you have to have words. Here are the words of the covenant. This lamp, this furnace, passed between those pieces. God himself walked between those pieces with this torch and this furnace. And here are the words that he said. In some covenants, You say, if you do this, I'll do that. If you do this, I'll do that. But this is not so in this covenant. This is a covenant where all the action is on the Lord himself, and these are his words. And in the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Avram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, past tense, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. We don't know which river this is. Could be the Nile. Could be another river in Egypt called the river of Egypt. But it moves all the way up to the river Euphrates, which is in present-day Iraq. And then it names the lands that it covers. The Kenite, the Kenizzite, the Kadmonite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Rephaim, the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Girgashite, and the Jebusites. And so we know from this that it includes part of Egypt, includes all of present-day Israel, it includes Jordan, it includes right up into Damascus and on up through into present-day Iraq and southern Lebanon. Now, we're going to Hebron, where we will meet David Wilder, a Jew from New York, been here many, many years in Hebron. Hebron has been turned over, by and large, to the Palestinians. But a small enclave of very brave Jews, I think there are about 600 now, Renan Levy, are living in the midst of Hebron, which is a city of about 100,000 Palestinians plus. Very hostile, but in the middle of them are these very brave Jews who've been living there for a while. And there's an article today in the paper. How can we, and this is by David Wilder in the Jerusalem Post, how can we as a people justify our existence in Tel Aviv or Haifa if we do not recognize the validity of our presence in Hebron? If we cannot accept and respect the very pillars upon which our statehood lies, a peek into a crystal ball of the days and years to come looks dismal and bleak. A people with no past or a people that refuses to recognize its past has no future. A Jewish purchase of a building in Hebron, they bought one about a year ago and people have fussed about it, should not be viewed as problematic. Indeed, it should be cheered on as a positive step in the renewal of Israel's oldest city. The time has come, David Wilder writes, for Jews throughout Israel and around the world to declare their allegiance to Hebron. We are Christians coming today to stand with Israel and their allegiance to Hebron. If you want to know more about Hebron, and about what the Bible says about it, and about what the world calls the West Bank, please order from us today a book called The Mountains of Israel. Just telephone us at 417-336-4877 and order The Mountains of Israel. We'll send it to you for, and this is much below its cost, normal cost, $7 plus shipping. Just order The Mountains of Israel, 417-336-4877, The Mountains of Israel. Shalom, shalom.